Welcome and thank you for joining us on our This Week in State Tax podcast. My name is Harley Duncan and I'm with the state and local team in KPMG's Washington National Tax Office. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about some of the recent state activity around the subject of tax incentives for data centers. As we all appreciate, artificial intelligence or AI has transformed the way we live, work, and entertain ourselves in the last 3 to 4 years. At the center of the AI revolution are data centers that provide the computing power and the connectivity necessary to meet user demand for AI resources, as well as to further develop those AI resources. 3 years ago, the question before states was, what types of tax incentives can we provide to encourage data center development in our state? More recently, that question, I think, has done a double backflip to something like, with all the citizens' concerns about electricity prices and availability, water quality, and other issues, along with the projected revenue impacts of the incentives, should we consider curtailing our data center incentives? A flurry of activity at the end of the 2026 legislative session likely gives us a glimpse of the approaches states may take to grapple with this issue. They are the focus of our discussion today. To help us wade through this morass is Jeff Cook, a managing director in our Washington National Tax Office, where he's become our go-to person on digital tax matters and hot potato issues ranging from digital advertising to prediction markets to data centers. He's also our state tax resource network for indirect taxes in Kansas and Virginia. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Harley. Good to be here.
So let's start by backing up just a bit. Jeff, can you talk to us about what types of tax incentives states did enact when they got into this business and what they were trying to accomplish? And when did they start to become gun shy about it? And why did they become gun shy?
You know, Harley, these data center incentives have actually been around for quite a while. They're not a brand new thing that states are just starting to get into. We're at a point now where there are at least 38 states that now offer some type of data center incentive program. And they were initially designed to attract the construction of these data centers in the state. And the thinking behind it was that these data center construction projects would result in investment in the local economy, there would be job creation, and then there would be some resulting increased tax revenues associated with the data center. So these programs, the way that they tried to appeal to these projects was they started offering sales and use tax exemptions, property tax relief, and sometimes electricity exemptions and rebates. And if you think about the sales and use tax exemptions, they really are sort of designed to resemble the manufacturing exemptions that most states have. So any type of building material or equipment that's used in the data center, so you think of servers or generators or other infrastructure, those would be exempt from sales and use tax. Property tax relief, it could be real or business personal property, reduced assessments there. And then I just mentioned if the state taxes electricity, there may be exemptions for that electricity usage. Oftentimes, these state incentive programs were tied to requirements that the data centers had to meet or certain criteria. The two big ones were a minimum level of capital investment. So data centers had to spend a certain amount of money in order to build their data center, had to be a certain size. And then they had to create new jobs, typically, and not just create them, but often maintain them and pay them at a specific wage level. What we're seeing right now is the opposition to data centers and these incentive programs. And it's really become one of the hottest legislative issues over the last couple of years. What's really driving it is the AI investments creating the need for these data centers, as well as more and more people starting to see some of these projects pop up in their local communities. And I think people are taking a look at their energy usage bills. their electricity bills, and they're concerned about rate increases. They're concerned about cost to their bottom line. On the other hand, states are also thinking about these programs and their effectiveness and taking a closer look as well. And they are questioning whether they've gotten the return on investment for some of these incentives that they've provided to the data center. So we're starting to see states do studies and just otherwise take a closer look at the return they're getting from these data center incentive programs.
Thank you for reminding me that, yes, indeed, center exemptions have been around for a while. It's really the demand and size that's exploded with the artificial intelligence. That's an awfully good reminder for me, at least anyway. As I have looked at this area, it seems to me the biggest hot button issue swirls around the volume of electricity consumption and the potential that residential and other consumers are going to face concern, at least that they're going to face higher rates just to have power for the data centers. Have the states begun to address this electrical power issue?
This is a very hot topic, and what we have been seeing this year are two primary methods that states are taking to address this issue. One is they could repeal the sales tax exemption for electricity usage consumed at the data center. For example, North Carolina recently enacted a bill, this was Senate Bill 257, that does just that. It repeals exemptions for electricity used at data centers in the state. The other thing that states could do is they could impose a new tax or a surcharge on electricity usage at the data center. And so that was the approach that Virginia recently took with their budget bill enacted last month. And that bill imposes a brand new data center electricity consumption tax. At the same time, the state is still preserving the state's incentives that they provide to the data center. So the equipment exemptions are still in place in Virginia.
That's interesting in its own right, in that, first of all, as I've read, Virginia has more large data centers than any other state, generally by a fairly wide margin, although there are a couple of others that are becoming large. Plus, the treatment of the electricity usage by data centers was really the key issue that prevented Virginia from passing a budget for the biennium 2026-27 until very, very late, even though their legislature meets in the winter. So that's an interesting approach that they have taken of continuing the exemption, but having another levy that's based on consumption by the data centers. Let's move to some other areas that the states have begun to look at, such as equipment exemptions, required employment levels, minimum investments, other things that states are taking a look at here, Jeff?
Yeah, states could really do the same thing with the equipment exemptions that they are doing with the electricity exemptions. They can easily just get rid of those if the legislature and the governor choose to do that. In Washington, there was a bill that was enacted earlier this year that eliminates the sales and use tax exemption for server equipment and the power infrastructure for the data centers that would qualify for a refurbishment, meaning new equipment and infrastructure being purchased for the data center. At the same time, in addition to just repealing the exemptions, one of the trends that we're seeing this year is states can also put them on pause. They are not getting rid of the exemption, but they are making a decision that they're not going to hand out new exemptions or incentives for a certain period of time. So that was something that happened this year with Arizona. They enacted a law that provides a 3-year pause on new sales and use tax exemptions being offered for data centers. This is happening at the legislative level, clearly, but it's also happening just at the executive level. If the legislature isn't moving, we're seeing some governors sign executive orders to do pretty much the same thing. For example, in Massachusetts, Governor Healey announced last month a pause in the state accepting data center sales tax exemption applications. And then we also saw that a little bit earlier this year with the state of Ohio's governor releasing an executive order pausing sales and use tax exemptions for data centers in the state. And with that one, there's no set duration or end date for the pause. It essentially leaves it up to the governor how long he wants to have the executive order in place. Another thing that often is tied to these pauses is there may be a study that the governor or the legislature wants to commission about what should we do going forward? What are some guardrails or what are some good practices that we can have going forward if we're going to continue to allow data centers to be constructed in our state?
That I think is useful information in that I've seen a number of studies that are being commissioned by at least where the legislatures to report or the executives to report to the legislature. And those I think could be enlightening and lead to a little more realistic debate, or at least common ground debate in the future. All right. Well, thanks, Jeff. That seems to address the particular tax issues that arose in light of the incentives that states enacted for data centers. But I'm wondering if any of the states have pursued what I suspect would be called the nuclear option on Capitol Hill and put a moratorium on new centers or ceased issuing permits for new centers or other actions that would just simply halt the construction of new centers while they try to better assess what's going on.
That's an interesting option that states are thinking about. The term nuclear option, I think, is a good way to describe it. And I look at it, yes, as a state saying, we are just going to stop all construction of new data centers in our state if we enact this moratorium. And one state in particular that has actually gone through and done that, the first state to do it, is the state of New York. New York Governor Kathy Hochul issued the first state moratorium on the construction of new hyperscale data centers in the state not too long ago. She also indicated that she did want to pursue legislation to repeal the sales tax exemptions that are currently in place in New York law for the big data center projects that are located in the state. So she's looking at it from two prongs. She's put in place a moratorium, and she wants to get rid of the existing sales tax exemptions for the data centers. So that is the only state that I'm aware of that has issued a moratorium. But I do think that at the local level, some of these construction moratoriums probably have been put in place by local governments. So that's something to be aware of as well.
It seems like we've kind of got a classic rubber meeting the road here where actions taken by states to stimulate investment and job creation in the state have exploded given changes in the economy and the way the development of AI, and that's beginning then to bump up against some fiscal realities and states, all types of states are really having to kind of take a pause and say, is this what we thought we were doing? Can this be afforded in the current situation? What's the best approach for our state now? So thank you, Jeff, for leading us into the light on trying to keep us up with this flurry of activity. Is there anything else we should know? Any advice for our clients? Or what does your Ouija board tell us about what should be expected in 6 months from now when the 2027 legislative sessions begin to spin up?
I think it's been very tumultuous, and I think that this will continue, and I expect this to continue to be a hot issue going into the 2027 legislative sessions. The opposition to data center projects will continue at the community level as well. One thing that I would point out is that this opposition has been a bipartisan issue. It hasn't been one where we've seen a big difference between how red and blue states are necessarily looking at it. That can't guarantee that, you know, a red state will look at it one way and a blue state will look at it a different way. That is one issue. Another issue you mentioned is the states facing budgetary constraints. That's always something to be aware of, and that could certainly continue going into this fiscal year. There may be some states that have revenue shortfalls and gaps to fill. And so if they do that, they may look to see, well, what can we roll back? What should we be rolling back? Are there data center exemptions that are really costing the state a lot of money? So I think we'll see states look into that, and we'll see a lot more of what we saw this year. So more rollbacks, more pauses, more studies ordered. And I think we'll probably see some more moratoriums as well at the state level. As far as advice for clients that are involved in this industry, my advice is pretty straightforward: to be proactive at both the state and local levels.
They should engage with state legislators and local communities and tell the positive side of the story from their perspective, so they can share more details about jobs created, increased tax revenues, or valuable infrastructure that they've brought to the state and local communities.
And then I'd also go back to what happened in Virginia. As we noted, that was a really contentious legislative session this year in Virginia, and the data center exemptions were an issue that was subject of heated discussions. And what happened was the industry itself proposed the new electricity consumption tax in order for the state to commit to preserving the sales and use tax exemption. So those are my recommendations, but I think it'll be another interesting year next year.
Jeff, you're exactly right on the last part. It's definitely will be an interesting year, and I expect this topic will be center stage again. So I thank you very much for helping us understand what's been going on and give us a glimpse at what we might be looking at in the next year. So if any of you have listened to our earlier podcasts, you may or may not appreciate that I usually end the podcast with a few quirky factoids about the state being discussed. Since we're talking about a multi-state AI issue, I thought I'd use AI for one of its major societal benefits, which is letting no question or bar bet go unanswered. So I asked two questions, actually. The first was, what was the best movie in the drama category that's been produced since 1950? The answers I got back were Godfather Part 1 and 2, 12 Angry Men, Schindler's List, Shawshank Redemption, Seven Samurai, and Parasite. So as a baseball fan, I said, then what's the best baseball team since 1950? And it came back with these in this order: the 1998 New York Yankees, the 1954 Cleveland Indians, the 2001 Seattle Mariners, 1975 Cincinnati Reds, and the 1961 New York Yankees. I find either of these lists hard to argue with, although I would suggest that Shawshank Redemption probably deserves to be the best movie since 1950, and Pretty Woman ought to be added to the cast as well. It seems to me that this AI thing must be worth keeping, so we'll be expecting to discuss it again next year. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on another podcast soon.